Wrestling with Martin Bester.
Talking all things cannabis, for a while there it seemed decriminalized, legal, what word do we use? Now it's not. So listen, it's very tough to keep up sometimes. Attorney Paul Michael from Cullinan and Associates on the line. Paul Hauser, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning to you and your listeners. Thanks for having me.
Let's just dial back a couple of years when it was. What is the right word to use? Was it decriminalized or made legal? How does one put it?
Yeah, I think it's important to take those few steps backwards to 2018 with that now famous judgment of the Constitutional Court. The personal and private cultivation and possession and use of cannabis was decriminalized by the Constitutional Court. Nothing less, nothing more. So I can understand that there's a lot of confusion around this, but 99% of what you see popping up in shopping centers, etc., in the last 7 years is entirely illegal. And this latest so-called ban hasn't actually changed that position. It's really confirmed the position that has existed since 2018.
Did you say it's legal or illegal?
Most of it is illegal, because what the Constitutional Court did not do, in fact, it grappled with the issue and it declined to decriminalize dealing in of cannabis. So as matters stand, cannabis, but for processed hemp, is still illegal to sell in whatever format. The only exception to that is if it has gone through the pharmaceutical value chain in terms of a very difficult license to acquire in terms of the Medicines and Related Substances Act.
So that answers your question about hemp, Felicity.
Yeah, but also I'm just shocked, because what you've said is that you can grow it, you can smoke it in your personal capacity, but all the shops that we see everywhere are illegal.
Absolutely illegal. And, you know, it's one of these things where I think government recognizes that the genie has gotten out of the bottle and is going to be impossible to stuff back in. So there are definitely acknowledgements within government, and there's a drive to regulate this and to incentivize a move from the illicit into the licit economy. But as with everything government related, this is taking a lot longer than anybody would have hoped for.
What's the general consensus in legal circles? I mean, you know, was there confusion? Is there closure now? Is it a good thing, bad thing? What is your take?
Look, it's not confusion. I mean, to sell cannabis or psychoactive cannabis or narcotic cannabis, as I like to take it, has always been illegal. So I don't think that it's particularly controversial that the Minister of Health has really reinforced, as opposed to changed, the position by publishing these regulations. Psychoactive cannabis, until there are very stringent and clear regulations around it, should not be going into gummies or edibles. But I think it's been correctly pointed out before, especially something that looks like a sweet has an added element of danger associated with it. You know, if an underage person gets their hands on those things thinking that they're just, you know, candy, there's a potential danger for that. So I do think that that was a good move by the minister, but you know, correspondingly, in the same move, banning all hemp-based foodstuffs. And I mean, we're talking about hemp seed oil and hemp seed flour, very high in protein, very high in the correct omegas, and for that matter, non-psychoactive. And it's a very well-established industry in South Africa. So I don't understand why that move was made, and for that matter, why that move was made without any public consultation.
That is very strange.
Yeah, do you think that there's going to be a challenge to that? Because it seemed like a unilateral decision made by the minister and almost snuck in with nobody much the wiser. So people are gainfully employed already in this industry, burgeoning industry, and obviously there are people who use it for medicinal purposes as well. Do you think that this is going to go back to court and maybe even escalated to the higher courts?
Well, yes, I do think that. That's if the minister doesn't recognize that this has been a mistake and walk back on this decision, which he's quite capable of doing. In fact, word on the street is that there are various industry associations that are gearing up to challenge this. And also very much on the basis that the mandatory public participation process was bypassed. Mm. Whether it's going to get in the way of people's medicinal use of cannabis, well, you know, a lot of the so-called medicinal use of cannabis has been off the basis of an abusive misinterpretation of the laws, because you can, in our country, legally register cannabis-based medicine, but certainly the gummies that you're seeing and these sort of homemade or roughly made tinctures that you see being sold at pop-up stores in very many shopping centers around the country are not actually in terms of the strictures of the Medicines Act, read with the Pharmacy Act. So this move by the Minister of Health really is not illegitimate insofar as it dents any sort of medicinal use of cannabis.
So, okay, so I did ask a question earlier. I'm so confused now. So medicinally, for the use of pets, I know a lot of people who use the THC for their pets, be it for their hips, their anxiety, nervousness, all that kind of stuff. Will that still be is that illegal? Is it available?
Well, you see, the Medicines and Related Substances Act also deals with the veterinary use of what we call active pharmaceutical ingredients, which is what THC and CBD are.
Okay.
So, all of these things that you're seeing being sold by vets, etc., they're not actually legal in the sense that they haven't gone through the rigors that are ordinarily required for the registration of a medicine for human or animal consumption. So look, I mean, we have a lot of work to do, but I mean, I think that there has been a big misinterpretation of these regulations that were released. They, yeah, they haven't, other than hemp, hemp-based foodstuffs,
mm-hmm,
they haven't actually banned anything that was not previously banned.
Okay, so the only thing new is the hemp stuff.
And the other thing that I think it's important to mention, and this isn't a legal perspective, but you know, you come across these things being in the industry, is that certainly your listeners should be very, very careful to use THC-based products on their dogs and cats, because I understand that their systems are not set up to metabolize these things well. So actually, you can aggravate, for example, a pet's anxiety, because you know, poor Jack Russell ends up getting stoned for 48 hours.
That is a bit unfortunate. Do you fight this in the High Court? Never mind. No. Listen, just funny. So there's no such thing that if you have X amount on you or under a certain volume, then it's fine. And remember, people were going around saying if you
have like 2 milligrams or whatever, then it's fine and you can't get arrested or in trouble for that.
Milligrams.
Yeah, so we're still waiting. I mean, you guys might recall that the Cannabis for Private Purposes Act was signed into law on the eve of last year's elections. That act has not been legally operationalized. We're still waiting regulations, and the regulations to that act are going to set, you know, what those maximums are. But as matters stand, there are no legal maximums or minimums that, you know, that one can look to on the statute books. The regime that has persisted since that 2018 Constitutional Court judgment is what persists to this day, which is that if it is for personal and private use, regardless of purported maximums, that is your ticket to avoid going to prison.
So literally you could say I've got these 15 kgs of my personal use.
As the law currently reads, yes, if you can demonstrate that you are not possessed of those 15 kilos in order to illegally deal in cannabis, then yes, you should not be convicted for any sort of crime.
You guys happy? I know you're asking for friends. Yeah. So, Paul, thank you very much for your time. Much appreciated. I think that does answer a lot of questions, honestly, that have been just up in the air. Thank you very much for your time, Paul. I really appreciate it.
Only a pleasure. Good day, guys.
I say cheers. Bye. Bye. Attorney Paul Michael there from Cullinan and Associates. You know what? We'll put this chat on podcasting as well, just to go and catch up there. And there's just been a lot of confusion, misinterpretations. Yeah. This person says this, that person says that. But yeah.
You don't want to get it wrong because stakes are high.
Oh, there we go.
You're with your own family. Breakfast with Martin Besser.